Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We go to Andy Parker joining us, a meteorologist, as we're looking at Hurricane Milton throughout the morning. And, you know, Andy, this storm that a lot of people have been looking at, we've been talking about the last 24 hours as being very powerful. I think that's now just hitting home for not just people in Florida, but who are watching this around the country as it gains strength again overnight and is a Category 5 again, less than a day before it's expected to hit land. I mean, that's really kind of stunning for a lot of people to look at. How does that happen?
Yeah, it's a very powerful storm, and they have to have the right ingredients to make that happen. First and foremost, you have some very warm Gulf waters, some of the warmest sea surface temperatures that they've had in a while. They really haven't had anything to move through and disturb a lot of the space that Milton is over right now. Helene came in and kind of went through the Big Bend area, but you need more disturbances. It'll mix in the water. It'll lower the sea surface temperature. But right now, that's one of the feeding forces of this. And then the rest of it is all atmospheric. Everything that happens above the surface of the water, tens of thousands of feet, and the right steering flow. So you've got a bunch of these things coming together to allow the thunderstorms to develop, to feed it, and then to also move it in a direction that is very unfavorable for the state of Florida. And the only good news that we have to report this morning, the last Hurricane Hunter aircraft that went through, while it did show that it regenerated a little bit, these things will lose and gain strength over time. They kind of build up and then drop down and build up. So it's built back up to a Category 5 with winds of about 161 miles an hour. Sounds tremendous, but it's absolutely doing no damage. It's out over open water. It's not what it is now. It's what it's going to be. And there is a sign that some of these winds will begin to drop down from the catastrophic Category 5, maybe to a 4 or a 3 by the time it makes landfall later on this afternoon and evening. And the other good news is that while parts of Florida are going to get hit, it does look like right now a slight jog of only about 20 or 25 miles has occurred, and the most optimum spot to hit is now looking like just south of Sarasota. So that would spare Tampa Bay the worst storm surge that they've experienced in over 100 years. That's the only good news that we have out of this storm at this point, is that a strike further to the south will still completely inundate areas like Port Charlotte, Sarasota, Venice, and then areas down towards Fort Myers will take more of a hit. But Tampa proper and the bay itself, which they really haven't seen this kind of trauma in over 100 years, it looks like that may be a little bit less of a threat for people in Tampa and Port St. I think it's St. Richie, right above it, Port Richie,
right.
New Port Richie.
Florida has a lot of causeways and bridges, you know. With a storm surge and the wind that they're talking about, how vulnerable are they? Even that Sunshine Skyway Bridge.
A lot less vulnerable now than they were just 24 hours. And what happens when the storm, if you imagine if you were standing on top of the storm as it was approaching the coast, the right-hand side of the storm, the winds are coming towards the coastline at an amazing 130, 140 miles an hour, you get a huge storm surge there. Now, the opposite side of the storm, the winds are coming the opposite direction, so they're going to be blowing from the land to the ocean. So you actually get the opposite effect. The storm surge will not be as prominent on the left-hand side of the storm. That's good news for Tampa. That's where those causeways are. There's still going to be a rise and a fluctuation, but it looks like that 10 to 15 foot storm surge might now be reduced. It's still going to cause, those will be overtopped, the ones that ride along the water, but some of the elevated causeways should be okay. Otherwise, there's still going to be a tremendous amount of power outages and damage, and it's just shifting that damage to an area that might be less susceptible to a inundation from storm surge as opposed to some beach erosion and the type of damage that we saw from the last one in Helene.
You know, if we're talking 10-foot storm surge, I mean, just how far inland can that cause major problems for, considering the fact that, you know, they're probably pretty saturated with water there in Florida after the last storm and some of the rain they've had. It is a low-lying area. I mean, I feel like this is way more than just the coast or what we would even normally talk about during a powerful hurricane.
Yeah, there's actually excellent models for storm surge inundation. And they've been able to computerize these things based on USGS maps that are based on elevation. And if you go to the National Hurricane Center, if you ever wanted to see just how far, I could explain it, but it's not going to do it justice. They actually have what's called an inundation map based on the forecast amount of surge. And I'm looking at it right now, and it is very significant. And it'll show which areas are most susceptible to be pretty much overcome by water. And the way that Tampa has built up their coastline, literally building on sandbars and the edge, a lot of these places are going to be swamped by this. The only good news, again, that we have is that the type of storm surge is going to be maybe less peak when it's in Tampa as it is point south. So that's I can see they're moving the needle on some of the biggest storm surge a little bit to the south, tentatively yet, because, again, it's still not until later on this evening that it arrives. But that's one good tick that we've seen is that slightly southward shift.
The storm will be at its worst at night in the dark, and that itself makes it that much worse, doesn't it?
Yes, my parents are down in Florida. They've been down there since the 90s. They've ridden out a few of these. They're inland about 20, 25 miles. So you can imagine maybe out towards Pembroke or in those areas. And so you think, okay, they're not right near the lake. And there's a lot of folks down there like that. And yes, you're not going to get hit by the storm surge, but it's the winds. And then these things will spin up tornadoes and have other damage. So when you get to numbers like Category 3, Category 4, Category 5, even well-built structures have the potential to have their roofs pulled off. It's hard to describe the amount of destruction that can come from winds of 140, 150 miles an hour. 60, 80, 90 mile an hour winds, a lot of them are wind rated for that. A lot of the newer builds down there in the last 10 or 20 years have the ability to withstand that. But once you exceed that and you start to go 20, 125, 140, 150, those winds create a type of aerodynamic that even the most well-built homes can't withstand.
Those winds that we're talking, you almost forget about the wind because we're talking so much about the storm surge and the water, but it just adds to that and, you know, all the possible projectiles that are stacked up on the ground from the last hurricane. I mean, this could be major damage. When we're talking about a storm that we keep hearing once in a century, once in a generation, is there anything in your recent memory that you can compare what Milton looks like right now to?
You go back to a Katrina or an Andrew, things of those nature, where Andrew was back in the, I say back in the 1900s, it sounds so long ago, but the 1990s sounds a little bit better. That was a Category 5 that hit southern Florida, and it left, you know, a huge swath of devastation right by the Air Force base down there where it came in. That's probably the most recent Category 5 striking. Again, with this one, while it's a Category 5 right now, there's hopes that it does begin to diminish, that it goes through its regeneration and drops down. Even a 20 to 25 mile an hour decrease in the maximum sustained winds would be a huge help to the folks that are in line of this storm in the form of saving structures, less power outages, and overall the damage pattern will be weakened. As soon as that eye wall does break ground, if you will, and begin to leave the water, it's going to start losing two things, its energy source and its friction. The friction that it's going to pick up from the ground, even though there's not mountains in Florida, as the wind, there's nothing to slow the winds down over the ocean surface. But once it gets over the land masses, the trees, the topography, it begins to slow the winds at the surface a bit. It will lose strength quite rapidly and drop to a one as it moves over central Florida. I've been through a one hurricane in Orlando before, and it was interesting. But I'll tell you, it was a very unnerving experience because, as you mentioned, anything becomes a projectile. If it was loose, it was blowing past the window. It was a daytime event, and that was a real eye-opener to watch flashing from roofs and siding just go sideways past in these huge jets of wind that would gust past the window. And then you could occasionally, in between those bands, kind of walk outside and look. But then when the next one came through, you had these winds racing 70, 80 miles an hour. To think about 100, 120, 150 mile an hour wind gust, it's almost unimaginable, even for me as a meteorologist putting eyeballs and a visual on that kind of number. It just seems unnatural.
Wow. Well, Andy, thanks for helping us track it. So many Western New Yorkers have interests in Florida, and we appreciate it. Meteorologist Andy Parker here on WBEN.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.